are listening to T-Mac and Cookie Monster on the Radiant Culture Podcast. Engaging and exciting conversation on life, God, and pop culture. Every week on the Radiant Culture Podcast.
Hi, guys, and welcome to this week's Radiant Culture Podcast. Last week, it was fire in the studio when we were talking about relationship due diligence. We ended at question number 5, and this week we'll be starting at question number 6. Hope you enjoy.
Okay, number 6. What's your current relationship with your exes? That one's got takers. Even someone in the studio went, Amen. What is your current relationship with your exes? Now, again, people can be all, you know, no, I'm a grown-up, man. I still say hi to him. We still meet for lunch and dinner. We still call each other. We still send each other messages and so forth. Yeah. We still get along. We're the best of friends. In fact, you know, my plan is for my ex to actually be my best, one of my besties at my wedding.
Excuse me.
It's part of it's a relationship due diligence. Hey, do you know how many people who are in marriages today that have gone back and they have suddenly resuscitated old flames?
Yeah.
You want to know? Okay, you get along with your ex, your most recent ex. Yep. Very good friends. Yep. Okay, and you want to get in a relationship with me, Anditi? Oh, yep. Okay, well, I want to let you know that's going to be a problem. I need you to slow down on that. I'm not comfortable with it. No matter how much you tell me that there's nothing going on, and there could very well be nothing going on, I just want you to know that I can't handle it. Or, okay, hey, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that.
I'm friends with my ex too.
Look, you want to know.
Yeah.
How many of us, the question really behind that question of what's your current status, relationship status with your ex, the question behind that question really is, how many of us are there going to be in this relationship going forward?
Right.
Ooh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes. Because chances are that I will be discussed.
And the ex will never be objective about it. That's the ex.
Thank you.
Like, hi, I'm Sierra. I'm gonna do that.
And she hits a home run. That's exactly it, Dazzle. Because you understand Kutizo. No, I will be a topic of discussion with your ex late night after we've had a fight.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And as far as your ex is concerned, if he or she is still into you, I could be leverage.
To get back, yeah.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Ah, Dazzle is absolutely on point. I think Cookie is...
He's in shock.
Cookie is behaving like a typical guy because he's thinking these questions. I feel like the noose is getting tighter as the questions are coming.
Hey, you know what? Your brother got to look up for his own back. You got to think about your life.
So again, the moment you ask, so what's your relationship with your exes? And you're like, nah, it's non-existent. We don't even talk. The day that you start chatty with her or with him, I'm like, yo, I thought you said you and your ex didn't talk much. Saka, what's going on, Panap?
I'm just doing a personal audit.
But, again, let me go back to the secondhand car. Mm-hmm. I've sold a car before. Someone comes and buys my car, a car I loved, but I had to sell it. I had to sell it, and they buy it and they take off. Do you know when I see that person with that car? Do you know that I still call it Mota Yangui?
Yeah. Wow, that's actually very good. Yeah.
Isn't that true? Still good. Yeah. No, that's my car. No, boss, it's not your car. You sold the car to that person. But for me, I'm still like, no, that's my car.
Yeah, that's my baby.
That's my baby. Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. There goes my baby.
Exactly. Yeah. Or you even walk up to it if you find out that it had an accident. Yeah. And this happened to me genuine. One of a car that I used to own, someone who I sold it to, I saw it somewhere and it had been bashed. I literally walked up to the car and I'm like, what the? What did you do?
Yeah.
What did you do to the car? You had an accident with it. I forgot, but no, I let it go. I actually let it go. It's the same thing with exes, is that those people are great people. They loved us. It's sometimes, more times than not, they never stop completely. And the relationships, when we move on to certain relationships, they're always looking out and pointing, you know what? You know, that's my baby, that, you know. You know, you have guys that say, nah, go and ask her. I was her first.
Yeah, and all the guys say.
So even people who are quiet in the studio are laughing there. Let me move on quick here. Okay, what has been your biggest regret in a relationship? What has been your biggest regret in a relationship? That's number 7. Yeah, what's been your biggest regret? You're trying to find out, did you learn anything from the last relationship, or it just didn't go your way and you left?
Wow, that's good. But yeah. Rather than just asking that directly, uh-huh. I like how the question.
Exactly. What was your biggest regret? So even when you're talking about the ex, it's not all about, okay, so are you over? Are you over him? Are you over her? Are you over her? No. It's like, hey, this ex of yours, how did you guys meet? And what was your biggest regret? That's going to tell you that this person learned something from that relationship. Number 8. It's going to get a bit hot. What should I do to stop you if you become unreasonable or violent? So remember the brake pedal I was telling you about in your Range Rover Sport Dazzle?
Mm-hmm.
This is what you're asking for now. What should I do to stop you? I'm asking you, what should I do to stop you if you become reasonable or violent? I don't want to have to try and figure it out. But how do I stop this person? Is it this? No, you already told me what it is. You told me that the day you become unreasonable or violent, this is how best to deal with you. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm asking you, are you prepared to empower me to deal with you when you become unreasonable or violent in this relationship?
Wow, that's deep. You see that a lot in fights that break out. And then the chick is trying to, usually maybe a guy is like very protective of her. Another guy steps up to her. The guy doesn't understand. He's now trying to beat up the other guy. She steps in. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows what's what. So she gets beaten up. The guy gets beaten up. The bouncer gets beaten up. Everybody gets beaten up. And nobody knows what to do with this guy.
And so this would then be the next question after that. Mm-hmm. It is who in your life can I approach if you become unreasonable or violent?
Yes.
Because if you meet a person that does not have anyone that can put them in order, whether it's a mentor, a father figure, a coach, somebody, we all have someone who we know that this person is the one who can, this is the go-to person to control me.
Yeah.
If you're this person who is interested in you tells you, nobody. There's absolutely nobody who can deal with me when I become unreasonable or violent.
What if they even get offended? Because how could you ask me that?
No, but why should you be offended? You come from people.
Yeah.
There must be somebody who can put you in order.
Sure.
There must be somebody. Is it your mom? Is it your dad? Is it your uncle? Is it your former boss? Is it your pastor? Is it one of your senior friends? Is it your older brother? Is it your older sister? Who is it? Is it your aunt? I need to know who to call when you become toxic.
What if I don't want to admit to myself that I get toxic and you ask me that?
Well, I think that's part of the due diligence. That, okay, so I'm marking in my book that you refuse to admit that you have a toxic nature of some sort. Or so what you're telling me when you say no, but why do you want to ask about, you know, who to go to, should I become unreasonable or violent? Surely we should be able to sort it out ourselves. No. I want to be able to get to a point where I know that if we fail to agree on something, or if you become violent, or if I become, who do you go to in my life? I'll tell you who to go to. Because, guys, people get hurt in these relationships. People get hurt. And in more times than not, the story I've always heard is that the girl's family or the guy's family, wherever, they say, we didn't even know. We don't know anything or anyone from this boy's family or from this girl's family. Or there's no, but who do you, or the girl says, I don't know anyone that I can call. I just know him. But you've been dating for 5 years.
Yeah.
And you just know him? No, there's got to be someone else who's aware.
So is there maybe like a time issue to say after this kind of a certain threshold of time where you need to know this information? Because if I've just met you and maybe we've gone on like 2-3 dates,
mm-hmm.
by the time I'm going to ask you this, it's assuming that we are going to be in more of a relationship.
Oh, absolutely. Like, I think here's the thing, guys. Look, once you start to figure out that this relationship is starting to grow as a relationship, these are no longer just dates.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But now we are becoming a relationship. This is becoming where I'm becoming somebody that is comfortable with you on a heart-to-heart level.
Right.
And preparing that we are now going to be in a love relationship. Oh, I certainly need to know. Yeah. I need to know about your family. There's no way. I'm not going to fall in love with a girl and go on for 5 months with her and never know whether her daddy or her mom is alive.
Yeah.
And never know how many there are in their family, whether you have an older sister or an older brother. And just never, no, I mean, those are just, it just, unless, remember I said, unless we are not building anything.
Right.
If this is just a hit and run, it's actually convenient that I don't know anybody in your family or anything about the people that are around you. Are we still...
We're there.
Are we still there?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm all peace.
All right, here we go. What is the deal breaker for you in a relationship? What would make you walk away? What would make you say, nah, cannot deal? I cannot deal with this.
This is such a good question.
Yeah. And the cool thing is that can be, I mean, again, these are all two-way questions. And again, it's not about saying the day we sit down to ask these questions, we ask them both ways, right? Tit for tat. Now I've told you, now you tell me. Hey, you know, it could be like that. Or there could be questions that are asked on another day.
Yeah.
You know, it's entirely up to you.
It could be staggered.
They could be staggered, whichever way. But these questions need to get answers. If you don't get them from the horse's mouth, you will find out for yourself as surprises.
That's actually another question I wanted to ask. To say, is it appropriate to just kind of find out information about people without their knowledge? So it wouldn't necessarily be like you're kind of trying to find out makua in quotes, mm-hmm. but like maybe you Google them, check out their LinkedIn profile,
mm-hmm.
see what they've posted on Facebook, and you know.
Do you know what?
The people who know them.
I think that we live in a day and age where we have the means and ability to do that. Do a background check on a brother.
Yeah.
You're gonna have to do it.
Honestly.
And on a sister.
On a person.
Let's just balance it out. Could I write? Yeah, on a sister. Look, guys, if someone gets upset that you did a background check on me, they're just being dramatic. Because to be honest, I was always going to ask other people about you.
That's true.
I was going to ask you. There's this guy I met. His name is so-and-so. He works. Do you know anyone who works at XYZ Bank, I was going to say ABC Bank, but I discovered that may actually be a real bank. do you know someone who works at bank, you know, XYZ? Yeah, actually I do. Can you ask them if this girl actually works in this department? You can get catfished.
Yeah.
Properly. Properly you get led on. I know enough the stories of people that lie about where they work. Of people that lie about what they own.
Yeah.
People that lie about who they, I mean, they just lie. As long as I can get the chick, I'll explain to her later. Or it won't matter the moment I get laid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So hey, what question was I? Was I
at now?
The deal breaker. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what's, you know, what is the deal breaker? Here's a good question. What has hurt you the most in your life? What has hurt you the most in your life? And again, you're digging into a person. This question, more than finding out what has hurt them in their life the most, is also preparing you to how to handle this person with care.
Yeah.
You know, or in a certain way. So so part of the due diligence is actually trying to find out what would break this person. Now, sometimes people are not completely ready to share that,
mm-hmm.
You know, but it always helps, especially as the relationship gets more and more serious.
Yeah.
These are things that I think somebody would need to know. Here's number 12, because we're already at number 12 now. What would hurt you the most if I did it to you? What would hurt you the most if I did it to you? I want to know that. Because wow. I may just do it without thinking.
Or without knowing.
Without knowing.
Yeah.
You know? And it reflects, asking that question reflects care. You know, it reflects a certain level of seriousness. What would I do? What would it be that would hurt you deeply if I did it to you as someone who is in a relationship with you? That question has to have an answer. Okay. Number 13. How much of your private life can I probe? How much of your private life can I probe?
What sites I visit?
Wow.
Can I look
what
at your phone?
What color socks you like?
Can I look at your nice. Phone? Can I go through your phone? Can you open up your WhatsApps for me? I don't want your password. I'm just can you give me your phone? Let me just go through your WhatsApps just for today. No deleting. Don't be like, okay, I'm going to give you my phone to look at on Tuesdays or Wednesdays. No. When you ask for it, so just rock up and be like, hey, what's up? How you doing? Can I have your phone? Just open up your WhatsApp real quick. Let me just have a look at your discussions, your conversations for today and for yesterday.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm like, whoa. Slow down.
This is some deep stuff. This is deep.
I think this is super deep.
Guys. You know what? You're not ready for this. Because this is who you are. I am going to be the next person. The person that is closest to you after Jesus. It's going to be me. And I can't have a look at your WhatsApps?
Even Jesus can't.
Oh, what you trying to see?
I give up.
Maybe
I'm dying.
Maybe he should rather not see them. Just saying.
That's even Jesus. You're that secure before now. Could I just check out when my WhatsApp and you're not one on a ping it?
Spiritual encryption.
Wow, this is crazy.
Look, this long debate of should your wife or husband have access to your phone is just nonsense.
Yeah.
What is it you're keeping from your wife or your husband? The thing is this, is look, fine, we all have secrets and so forth. And some people may say, nah, certain things, you know, they'll damage our relationship. Well, guess what? It's only a matter of time.
Well, yeah.
It's only a matter of time if they're there. Look, it's the question really here is trying to probe whether as we grow this relationship, are there things that are going to be kept secret from me about you, because either I'm comfortable with it or like, hey, you know what, your life is your life, or nah, dude, your life is no longer your life. Can I tell you, if we're not together, I need to know what's going on with you, and you can know what's going. I can literally demand and say to you, listen, I need to, how many females are you talking to? Not that I'm trying to be a police person, but if there's no problem, you're like, oh, there's no problem. Hey, I'm talking here to Fiona from church. I'm also talking here to Rimbai from work. And I'm also talking here to Sophie. This is a chick I met at the restaurant the other day when we were having lunch with boys. So, okay. Sophie, right? All right.
Where does she live?
But, I mean, you know, I think that a growing relationship is one where a guy should be able to disclose certain things even without a due diligence.
Yeah.
So an ongoing due diligence where a guy or a lady can come and say, oh, babes, there's this guy at work or this new guy at work on my case. On my case, he's asking me out for lunch every single day.
How's you? Are you supposed to share that? Gosh.
Yes.
You know when you realize that there's like a lot of misconceptions about dating, because like you grow up with this whole thing about, oh no, you can't be yourself because you might be too much, so you have to project, and then you go through all this rigorous process of projecting an image of who you think could be attractive to a person,
mm-hmm.
and then the relationship flops, and then you go on and you become bitter and call, you know, mm-hmm. and it's because the fundamentals are missing, or they're wrong, or they're broken. But how do we fix it?
And I think that's part of learning to be in a relationship that's genuine, is that both of you have to be genuine people. The due diligence allows us to peel away all the things that life has taught us, or all the things that our experiences have taught us, because every relationship is unique. It's different from the last one. You cannot punish in this relationship for the sins of the last relationship, because it's a different person.
Right.
But we tend to do that. When we move into a new relationship, we're always going to be like, I'm watching this idiot. I'm watching them for lies. Because I know lies when I see them. And if you just lie, this person is getting it from me. It's because sometimes we've come from a relationship where you lie to so much that you get into the next relationship and you're like, I'm going to punish him for lying. Now, whilst he or she may lie, in most cases, people are punishing you for the sins of the other person from the last. They never got a chance to punish that person. So they're going to catch you on that. And so we have to learn the truths about this particular relationship and deal with it for its own merits. But yes, we use lessons we learned from the past, but understand that this is the, and that's why the due diligence is important. You ask, you probe, and it's ongoing, guys. This thing is not just once. You don't go through the questions at the beginning and then put it aside and be like, right, we're done, I'm happy with it, sign the dotted line, off we go.
Yeah.
Now it's ongoing. Yeah, babes, you remember when we had that discussion, I told you about what would hurt me the most? I didn't really tell you the truth. Let me really tell you what would hurt me the most. Or you remember asking about exes? I forgot about somebody and they showed up in my inbox. And I completely forgot about this person. That relationship was steamy. It was on a level. I've got to be honest with you. It was something else. And it's just, I just suddenly remembered that, no, I didn't tell you about that, but hey, it's over. And this is where I'm at. That's due diligence. Tell me that doesn't make a relationship stronger.
It does make a relationship stronger. I think we're just in a hit and run kind of setting where people then will complain, oh, and so my heart was broken. But I mean, sometimes you're also not duly diligenting.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Is such a word. But I think there's a real need to be open and honest with yourself.
Oh yeah.
And to tie it into having a relationship with God, that's what he does.
Mm-hmm.
He asks you to come as you are, openly, directly,
unashamedly.
Oh, so that you can leave your baggage with him, and he'll teach you how to be open and honest with other people.
I mean, you nailed it. And for me, that's the exact thing that God says. You're completely right. You know, God says, hey, I'll do my word conducts a due diligence of your life every single day. Yeah. He says, come to me as you are. Right? He says, come, show me every broken bit that you have and see if that moves me. What I don't want is for you to think you're actually hiding it and succeeding.
Ish. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Last question. This is the second last question, number 14. What is the one thing about yourself that I must watch out for? What is the one thing about yourself that I must watch out for? So you tell me where the wolf is at. I don't want to find out when the wolf is chasing me.
Ooh. It's like, don't touch my radio in my car.
Exactly. That would be kind of like very superficial up there. Like, okay, fine. I get you about the radio. But tell me about you. What is the one thing you want me to watch out for? And somebody could say, I'll tell you what, is my temper. I'm not proud of it, but watch out for it. You know?
Wow.
Last and final one, number 15. What is the best characteristic about you as a person and in a relationship? What's the best characteristic about you? It is, right? You know, what can I expect from you that is just top-notch? That on a bad day, I know that at the very least, I'm going to get this. I will definitely get this. And what that allows you again is to know this person who, you know how we call them, my person. You know, it allows you to know your person at that level that says, some bad things can happen. He or she can do some bad things, but there are some things I know. This is a good person.
Yeah.
And let me tell you why they're a good person. On their worst day, on his worst day, he'll still call me sugar. He'll still call me babe. Even in the middle of a fight, she'll still say, but sweetheart, I hate it when you do that. Because other people switch car. When the heat is on, you go from being sweetheart to
public enemy number one.
Exactly. Exactly. Ben Zremunu. You know.
Like, who still says that?
Because imagine someone saying, imagine someone. No, but I mean, do you imagine someone who tells you that one of the best things about me is that I'll always call you sweetheart, even when I'm upset. So you know that they're never going to say, yeah, but sweetheart, would he be in Zandru's one?
Yeah, because those two are kind
of... It doesn't work. Yeah, yeah. It just doesn't work. Yeah. So, you know what? These questions I've set up, like I said, they're not exhaustive. And they're not the only questions that can be asked and in that fashion. I think the point that we're trying to make in all of this is that your relationship deserves a little bit of probing before it carries on. Because this is a person that you are going to give the softest parts of your life. You're going to open the most delicate elements of your life to this individual. You're going to be at your most naked with this particular person. It just helps that you know a little bit more about how they may react, so that there is a certain amount of predictability, a certain amount of preparation from your end. How do I deal with you when you are hurt? That's a question.
Yeah.
I didn't ask that question here, but that's another question. How do I deal with you when you are hurt? You know, so the it's better than finding out mid relationship.
Right.
Could listen, when I'm having a bad day, I don't want to be asked how my day was. Please just leave me alone. Or she may say, sweetheart, I want to be asked how my day was. You can just kind of rock up, you know, and just send me a message and say, hey. You know, didn't hear from you today, or you know, you didn't ask me how I was. Look, did you ask me? I don't know. The point I'm trying to make is that there has to be a certain amount of knowledge about this particular individual, from the physical side to the heart side of things, to even aspirations. Part of the due diligence, I didn't ask about it here, but things like, so what do you plan to do with yourself, you know, education-wise? It may not be phrased that way, but you're finding out, okay, hey. You know, someone may tell you, you know, I want to carry on my education until I get a PhD. I would like to leave the country at some point. And you may be sitting there thinking, ooh, okay, don't know about leaving.
I love my Zimbabwe and my RTGS dollar.
Yeah, so, and again, the answer to the question, if she says yes, I'll be leaving the country in a couple of years after I finish medicine school, you know, it's not always the answer is, ah, well, in that case, if you want to leave, then because you know, I'm going to be an artist, no, mine, I'm going to be taking advantage of mining opportunities.
Exploring the opportunity.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it doesn't mean that you're going to say, ah, in that case, no, you're going to go off to Australia or somewhere. I want to be mining. Yeah, the license is being given. I'm not going anywhere. No, it's just knowing, okay, hey, she wants to be it. Let's see how it plays out. I know a lot of people where the other person wanted to leave the country and the other one wanted to stay. It was a big sticking point. They eventually got married. They didn't leave. They stayed. Or they did leave.
Yeah.
It worked out. But, you know, people knew, you know, and people were able to support. And again, one of the reasons is not just for myself. I want to be able to support, say, wow, she intends, she's going to medicine school. Man, I love that. I'm going to support, you know what? That's the one thing I'm going to do is I'm going to support you. My gosh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Pastor E, you know, when you said it worked out, it's like something clicked in my mind to say, I think the scariest thing about due diligence is the gray areas where you don't really know if it's going to work out. But I think this is so powerful because it's like the tool to make sure that it does if it's meant to.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't, that's okay. It doesn't mean anything about you or the person that you're not doing it with, but wow, that's just
that came out wrong.
Right. But yes, so I really like the fact that it could work out. I think it's also an area of fear, even in relating to God, that you assume God is the no guy. So whenever you go to God, you go with this shaking boots kind of, this is the guy who always says no. And yet, actually, he might say yes.
Mm-hmm.
You've just never even tried. Mm-hmm. And so you've lost if you've never tried at all. At least try and then you're told, I'm the no guy. And then you know that God is the no guy rather than to just assume that that's what he is. And
absolutely.
Keep yourself away from things that could make you happy.
I mean, and again, the Bible, the Word of God tells us wisdom is the principal thing.
Yeah.
This is the process of just getting wiser when you are in a relationship with somebody.
Yeah.
And the due diligence, let's go back to the example of companies where the term is taken from. When companies do a due diligence before doing activities together, they are trying to make sure that both of them get the best out of the deal that's been put on the table.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just one-sided. When we do it, when a company does a due diligence on another company, they want to make sure that, yes, we get the best deal, but the other company also, they also want to make sure that you get the best deal because you, as much as we're asking about you, we're also telling you about us. That's what a due diligence entails.
Yeah.
And we find out where our strengths are. We find out where our weaknesses are. And we make up our minds, how do we deal with your weaknesses mm-hmm. in this partnership? How do we deal with my weaknesses in this partnership? But how do we deal with your strengths? How do we make sure your strengths take us further?
Yeah.
How do we make sure that my strengths take us further as a partnership, you know, as well? How do we mitigate against the liabilities of your past as we try to go forward?
This is so good.
Yeah.
Really, really good. And, one of the things that I also like about this whole due diligence process is just the whole idea that asking questions is more than just an issue of the other party finding out. But I think when you ask certain questions, it actually forces, or rather it gets you to think about certain things that you would never ordinarily think about. For example, the question that, what, hurts you the most, or what are some of the things that have hurt you the most in the past? I know for most guys, those are things that we just don't really actively think about. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes the hurts are just deep down there, but then you never really take the time to actually explore and dig into them. And I think going through a process like that actually then gets you to confront yourself and to think about those things, that even if you don't end up with the person, but, you know, going through that process does help.
Wow. Wow. Deep.
Great deal.
So you're absolutely right. Absolutely right. It makes you think, you know, you confront yourself and you, and it's okay to have the answer when it comes to something like that, where someone says, you know, let me get back to you on that. You know, or to say, yeah, it's a difficult one for me to talk about right now. You know, let me. But that already gives you an insight into, okay, so there's something a little bit more for us to talk about here. And I mean, again, here's the thing, is that I find it difficult to try and think, what do people talk about in relationships if they're not talking about those things?
Maybe they're not talking.
Okay.
Drops mic.
Okay.
I don't know.
At that point.
No, maybe they're playing PlayStation and watching all the latest movies.
It's okay. Stop digging. Stop digging, okay. Dazzle. Yeah.
All right.
And on that bombshell.
Well, anyway, it's been an amazing discussion. Pastor E, thank you so much for sharing that.
It's always good, guys.
It's just, you know, I'm just reminiscing on over the days back in the day when you used to do the sex files and, you know, and all that stuff.
Yeah, man, I should resuscitate some of that stuff.
Sex,
you know,
exposed.
The sex exposed session. Yeah. Keith was reminding me of a book that I still haven't written that I threatened people with years ago. It's called The Bachelor's Degree.
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh.
Hey, so, some of us, you know, we might just stop being bachelors. Can you write the book, please?
Right?
You know? You are part of the vision.
Bachelor's degree, you know, absolutely. Partake. And then you don't partake. People are crazy. It'll come.
Now, that's cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's so important. You have no idea how many people think they know it and they don't. And you'll never know until a better source of knowledge comes out, or even a context, or even just being direct about it, because we're coming from backgrounds where these things are just not spoken about. You just make your own plan. And if you don't get knocked up before you're married, great. Then maybe we'll celebrate and have a white wedding. But there's so much more and this can like destroy divorce. Why are we still being divorced when we can do due diligence before we even sign papers?
And a lot of, again, you know, Dazzle, you absolutely answer a lot of the questions that people suffer with later on. If only I knew, says somebody, you know, or I had no idea that this is the past they had, or that this is the way they are. You know, you could escape a lot of things. You can make a decision after the due diligence. You know what? I just don't think this relationship is for you and me right now. We'll try. I think we should just move on. You know, or you know what? I can absolutely relate with what you're going through, and I'd love to keep finding out more about you, man. Let's walk this journey together.
Yeah.
We have to be human about these relationships and stop being all, you know, kind of, you know, romantic and movie scenes about it. You know, it's real life.
Yeah.
It's real life.
Awesome. Well, I think we're going to end it here now.
Yeah.
Pastor E, thank you so much. Dazzle.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Always a pleasure to come through.
Yeah. And to our listeners, thank you guys for listening. I think, you know, this has been a very eye-opening discussion, heart-wrenching, whatever you want to call
the
it.
The whole 9 years conversation. Nine
years. You know, but again, like we always say, at Radiant Culture, And the whole idea behind having these discussions is that we want to get thinking. We want to start to really confront some of those things that often difficult for us to confront as Christians and to even discuss. So I hope that you found today's discussion fruitful and meaningful. And let's put this into action, because I think this is really life-changing. Once again, Pastor E, thank you.
Thanks, guys. It's been awesome.
I'm your host, Cookie Monster.
I'm Dazzle.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Radiant Culture Podcast. If you want to make a contribution, make a suggestion, or have a request, you can get in touch with us via email on radiant@thehub.co.zw or inbox us on Facebook and Twitter. Look out for the next episode and remember to share this one with everybody you know. God bless.
It's hot. It's fresh. It's uncut. #RealTalk on the Radiant Culture Podcast.